Whoop. We're live on the Hollywood Strip in Sunset Boulevard, and today we are waking baking at an early motherfucking 4:20 in the morning in the wonderful, wonderful West Hollywood Strip. And today I'm super blessed to have with me J-Ro and his associate from the Alcoholics coming and hang out with us. Say hello. What's up?
What up, man?
How you doing today?
Happy New Year. I'm doing great.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Beer.
Happy New Beer, as we say in the Liquid Crew family.
Have you been taking down a lot of beers?
Nah, man. I don't drink like I used to, but I use a bigger cup now.
Yeah, of course. Sometimes you got to use a bigger cup for sure.
Yeah, I just took it easy last night, though. You know, just had some, I was more on the green side.
More on the green for
you. Yeah, I was smoking last night.
Nice. What's your favorite type of bud?
My favorite is OG, man. I love just a
ocean-grown.
You know, OG, San Fernando OG.
Mm-hmm.
I've been smoking that so long. I remember they used to call it cat piss. So
I always wondered why somebody would name something cat piss.
That's exactly what it smelled like.
Doesn't even make sense to me.
Got that odor, but
it smelled like it. It was just so
fire.
Pungent. It was a different smell, and I think
who started the revolution. Who would pick cat piss? That's what I don't understand. That just seems like such a crazy thing to call it. You know?
It just really made me think like that must actually be what they're using to grow this stuff.
Do you think that there's some kind of fertilizer in actual cat piss?
Hey, man,
that's fucking wild.
These growers got tricks. That's all I know.
Damn.
So,
I mean, I've heard certain type of tricks, but I never heard of the cat pissing.
No?
I haven't come across yet. That's
well,
for sure.
Good. I'm glad it's just a myth
in
my
head.
I'm glad that's just living in my head.
I hope it's a myth. Oh, my God.
Cat piss is strong.
Yeah, strong. I don't think it's something you want to refer to something that's actually good, I guess, you know.
Well,
but who knows?
Gladly, they changed the name to Kush. And here we are.
So you're telling me the actual evolution of the name you believe came from just because it was so smelly, it went from cat piss to Kush.
Well, this is just my, my experience.
I feel you.
That when a friend of mine was first bringing it down from Humboldt County, it was like a weed we never saw before. Because we had the chronic.
Sure.
We had stress at the time, still some good Mexican cess weed, the Arizona,
they used
to call it.
Yeah, but you don't really see that much of
you don't see it anymore.
Yeah, but you don't even really see as much Mexican weed, do you?
Not anymore.
No, not like the brick weed, not like the old school shit that you used to hear about all back in the day that these young millennials have no idea
what we went through.
How lucky are all you guys out there driving in the cars on your way to work and you're smoking some good ass strain that you know what it is, and it, you know, for so many years
you can pick
there was just brick seated. How many motherfuckers in the world, most of the population, all they knew was weed with seeds in it.
That's right. You have to scrape them out in a shoebox.
I mean, it's just crazy to imagine how much the evolution
absolutely
of the plant has gone in all this time. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it is really crazy. I mean, from what we were smoking back in the 80s to what it is now is
crazy.
It's amazing, yeah.
Oh yeah, from the 80s to now, it's like a whole nother universe, you know?
So how does this happen? Were there these strains always around, or they just just modified them, or
people have been genetically fucking with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that growers and the knowledge of growing and hydroponic growing and all this different type of growing, because more people aren't afraid and are getting into it.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're learning a lot more, and the weed is coming out better than when they just threw a seed in the ground back then, watered that shit up. You know, and it was going to be the best of what it's going to be. I think also it's a weed that God put in the ground.
Yeah.
It's a plant that survived and could go through all kinds of weather because it was a weed. No matter what you try to kill it, motherfucker kept growing, right?
You can't kill
That's why they called it a weed. Because even in the 1100s, 1200s, when there's fucking plague, right?
Yeah.
Famine, crazy fucking diseases people had.
Yeah.
Marijuana still grew.
Wow.
Right.
Right? Still and it adapted to each of those regions.
Yeah.
Whether it was North America, whether it was Canada, whether it was fucking Africa, right? And Africa might have to deal with the heat, with the this, with the that. So that plant adapted the genetics to those areas.
Right.
Get it? And what happened is when the hippies and the military guys used to travel and go on these fucking quests and journeys, they would bring back the seeds and genetics from all over the motherfucking world.
Wow. So
give
it up to the hippies.
Big up,
to the hippies.
To the soldiers.
And to the soldiers who wanted to nonchalantly not let anybody know that they're going to grow some chronic back in their backyard to help with their PTSD.
That's right.
Go for it.
Thank you.
And a shout out to all the military guys that are out there doing their things.
Brother.
It's definitely, it's the biggest oxymoron and shame that military guys who come back from war and this cannabis plant could help them and they don't have to get addicted to all these painkillers and psychotic medicines and shit.
But they can't even
smoke weed. Why?
Why?
Or be a patient. Why? Because then a person in the army, would they ever want to give up their sidearm? You're a fucking dude that fought in wars and battled and this and did all this shit. You're going to come home after fighting for your country armed. And you're going to come back because you want to get better and smoke some weed and not go crazy on your wife with PTSD and go crazy in these situations. And you don't want this other chemical shit, but you'd like to have weed, but you can't have it. Why? Because the federal government says that if you are a medical patient in the United States for cannabis, you are not allowed to possess a firearm.
Wow.
Is it because like we're gonna go like postal from being too stoned? Because I don't think that's the problem.
Out here shooting
all those weed heads out there, exactly, fucking going ballistic. Man. I don't really know too many of them.
Not really. You know? It's like the last thing you want to do is hear a loud sound like that when you're high.
So, J-Ro, man, you've been in the legendary band, The Alcoholics, both of you guys, for a long-ass time.
Yeah.
Tell all those millennials out there when you guys first started doing your groove on.
Well, first of all, I want to introduce my man Smirk here.
Of course. Hey, Smirk. What's up, my man?
What's up, man? My name
AKA
is Smirk.
A.K.A. Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia, fresh in the flesh.
And he's the...
Fresh in the flesh.
He's the merchandise manager for the Alcoholics.
Nice,
all
nice.
The t-shirts, all the fly hats we wear and...
International.
International. Yes. And that's what you got to catch it. And we're going to be integrating the Alcoholics. They're one of the properties we have. Very blessed to have the guys here with Purple Haze Properties. And we're launching. We launched at the last Cannabis Cup, the Licks, which is the nickname of the Alcohol Licks, because it's L-I-K-S.
That's the name for the kids.
For the kids. Yeah. Okay. And they decided to do a THC lollipop, one you can obviously lick and
it's
get
the
high.
Licks, baby.
So we launched that, and then we're also going to be working on pre-rolls. And then J-Ro has actually been very involved with the cannabis community. But before we get to that, again, let's talk about what it's like being in the band. It was with you, and then tell the other guys of the band that were with you. And then Exhibit was in the band too, right, at some point in time?
He's part of the Liquid family.
Part of the family.
Big up to X to the Z. Well, we started actually with... our big brother King T, which big up to King T, Compton in the house. He was out there rocking with Ice Cube and them in the 80s. And,
nice.
And he put us on his album, and we had a single called I Got It Bad. And once that came out, everyone was like, who is this hip-hop group from L.A.? They sound like they're from New York or something. Where are they from?
So you had that sound.
Yeah, because we were hip-hop dudes, you know. And shout out to Tash and Swift. Tash and E. Swift are originally from Ohio. So when they came out, you know, we all were the fans of funk music.
Okay.
You know? So funk is big in Ohio. Same here in LA.
And you know what? Let's just on a side note, I do this for everybody.
What's that?
While we're going to wake and bake, and I know you like a different, unique type of wake and bake, I ask, usually everybody comes in, what kind of music do you like to wake and bake to? So if you had to pick a tune for us to have throw on as background music while we puff down. And
oh, just like tell a little bit, song?
Yeah, just like you get up in the morning. People want to know, like, I'm on Spotty, so you name me any song you want. Tell me any song you want to listen to when you get high.
Sade, never as good as the first time.
Ooh, look at the ones that get pulled out. Now, let me tell you something.
I've had a few
good ones, but here we go, my man. And what was the name of the song?
Never as good as the first time.
All right.
Never as good as the first joint. You know, we still chasing that first time.
I love that shit. So, Shout out to Sade, for she's always been making some of the baller music.
Love her.
She's real good at the sexy music, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to put something on when you're trying to smooth it out with a girl, she's...
If you can't get none of some Sade, you just don't have it.
That's for sure.
You ain't got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got spiders in our weed up here.
We even
get the spiders high. We share. We share with you. We share with the spiders.
You know it.
All that. But what a strain is this, man?
It's a mixture. Sweet. It's got a little bit of black cherry we got in here. We got a little bit of tangy, some beautiful citrus nuggets for you. I like that myself personally. I like a little nice. Flavorful stuff. I think everybody's big on the Kush, but the Kushes are very earthy, don't you think?
Yeah. For me, a good heavy Kush is what...
We're having a little glitch there. Sometimes that happens when you're on the air.
Technical difficulties.
So, what are the plans for you guys? You guys hit up any tours and stuff? Where was the last spot you guys performed at?
We did a tour last spring.
Called
the Red Cup Tour. We hit 17 cities. We hit up New York for a show up at BB King's. And our last show was in Vegas, actually, at Brooklyn Bowl.
Brooklyn Bowl.
That's a fun
place to play, isn't that? They have that big giant. What the fuck is it called? That the link there? They got like not a roller coaster, but one of the, what is the thing that goes all the way around?
Ferris wheel.
Big
Ferris wheel.
I didn't get stoned enough today. That's the problem.
Not enough.
We're smogging up, but we still got a lot to do. We got a lot to do.
A lot of work
to puff here.
But going back to how we got started, I know we got a little off track.
Yeah, of course.
And we put out our first album in 1993 called 21 and Over because we felt like we were the era that was going to represent what happened in the 80s. Because if you remember back in the early 90s, it was like more pop rap was starting to emerge.
With
MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice, stuff like this. And
would you say that your stuff falls into that category or?
No, totally opposite. We were like a rebellion.
Rebellion to
no,
the pop.
No disrespect to these artists, but we were just a rebellion against the system saying, like, this is what rap is, you know? We were like, no. You guys are not... you don't know the story, so we're gonna tell you the story of what hip hop is, you know. So that was our movement, and the whole '90s followed. We feel, you know.
And you're originally from?
I'm originally from Pacoima, California.
818.
818. Yeah.
818. Oh yeah.
East Valley, and man.
All the boys Cali? Or at the time were Cali?
Yeah, we all living out in the valley, out in California. After the first album, we met up with Exhibit. Met him at a rap contest, actually. He killed the rap contest. Smashed everybody. And I'm like, bro, what's up?
Were none of you guys even really known as well then? Was it like totally he was going as an amateur to perform, or what was it like?
Yeah, we didn't know him. We had an album out already, so we were known. We were all over the world already.
Okay. And you're catching him when he was
touring. We came home to L.A. We're at this spot right down the street from here. And it was a rap contest. And this dude said, I make rhymes to make fools throw their sets up. You know, and as soon as he said that, I was like, who is this dude? And boom, I said, you Liquid Crew, bro. So from that moment on, he was just rolling with us, you know.
Wow.
So our extended family is called the Liquid Crew.
Okay.
Yeah, so Exhibit, The Far Ride, Feel the Agony, The Barbershop. We have a montage, you know, it's all part of the Liquid Crew.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And you guys have been performing since then.
Yeah, man. So it started in 85, actually. King T.
1985. Yeah. Shout out to the 80s. An era of which crazy, so different than now, right?
Yeah,
technology was just kind of starting.
Everything was new.
People were just getting a fucking computer. Atari. Remember that shit?
Atari. ColecoVision. Like video games were new.
It was a little blip. You guys are so lucky. You got music, virtual reality.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking pagers. Oculus.
Yeah,
we had motherfucking pagers back then.
Man.
Had cell phones the size of like a milk carton.
Computers were new.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff was new. Putting rims on your car was new.
Do you think that...
was fresh.
Do you think that because of the era that we live in now, that a lot of younger generations are going to kind of miss certain aspects of life because of tech? Like, we were forced to not have technology. I read this pretty interesting thing back in the day, because when I was a kid, right, and you liked a girl, there was no cell phones, there was no pagers, actually. There was just the home line, and anybody could pick it up. Mom, the dad,
man,
the fucking sisters.
It was stressful. And
you had to have the balls and the courage, right?
Yes, you did.
To fucking call that
Pops
girl.
Pops answered the
hello.
Phone, and you had to ask for her.
Hello, Mr. Blah, blah, blah. Can I please speak to your daughter? You know,
that's right.
And you had to muster up the courage, man. It was a whole different mentality when now you could just text. People just break up with each other by fucking text messages, which that's some cold-hearted shit, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and you're...
Leave a message.
Everybody develops within the generation that they were with, but I wonder what it's going to be like for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the kids now, they don't even know not having computers and being able... But I don't know. I was at a... party the other day that my son Louis Vaughn, big shout out to Louis Vaughn
LV.
Out there. He
LV.
Threw a party and it was, you know, youngsters there in the young early 20s, mid 20s, and they were playing 90s music the whole night. And I'm like, what's up? And I'm expecting it to just be a part of the night, and then it just kept going, right?
So I'm like, and how old is he?
He's 25.
25 and they're bumping the 90s.
So they're bumping 90s music. So I asked the DJ, I'm like, so, you know, he's like, yeah, man. So this other guy that was there, he was a young dude, maybe 22 years old. And he's rapping all the lyrics to De La Soul and all that. He said, that's all I listen to is 90s music, man. Early 90s is the dopest. And they're crowding around and they start coming, talking to me about it.
Let's throw on something from the 90s. What's something you throw back from that? Let's
man, 93 Tills. Souls of Mischief.
Souls of Mischief?
Yeah.
All right. Souls. I don't even remember if I remember them. Souls.
That's the when you hear
Mischief,
this, come on.
I see them pop up right here. All right, so let's see.
93
Till Infinity. 21,134,887 listens on Spotty. That's it. That's it. That's all they had.
That's all they had. Yeah.
See?
This song right here pretty much tells it all.
Is it how you guys were?
So, yeah, this is same year we came out. They're Cali Hop just like us.
Cali Hop.
Yep.
And that's what you guys would say, you're Cali Hop?
Yeah, I mean, when you think of West Coast rap, you always think of gangster rap, you know. And there's another side. California is the only state that has two genres of rap, and we've never had really a name. Some people want to call it backpack rap or whatever, but I was never a backpack rapper.
So you're saying that
Cali hop is,
and that's different. Does the East Coast have different defined?
No.
So you just say that it's a West Coast thing, and do you think what's it based on? You think it was just based on like a split or differential? And
yeah, I think in LA you have that just in general. You have a kind of a split of type of people out here. It's really ran by the streets, you know. Los Angeles and California,
so the songs
very much
are
ran
by the streets.
So you have another side where guys that go to college and still go to clubs, hang out, and
sure,
they got cousins that gangbang and all that. But you know, we're more like we're into our music
for sure.
But we still have to deal with the same issues, though.
So you say that when you guys speak, it's more about what it is in the streets, or do you try to look at a brighter side of what you rap about?
Yeah, I think we look at a brighter side, and we touch on being from the streets, but we rap about books that we read and
just whatever
real situations that we're in, girls.
It was just like when I was talking to Money B and we had him on the show at Digital Underground. They were always all about the fun things in life. The booty.
And they're from Oakland, one of the most hood places in the world. So you know, that just goes to show you there's always another side of it.
You know, and shout out to our boys. We were partying with
they're
them.
Cali Hop too.
Cali Hop,
Cali
yeah.
Hop.
We were partying J-Ro, the Alcoholics. We had Money B.
Oh yeah.
We had Naughty by Nature. We had all these guys come and hang out with us at the Cup, man. What a fun
time
that was. Shout out to High Times and all those wonderful cannabis cups. And when you guys get
High
to come
Times.
To the recreational state of California.
Yeah, it feels good on the other side now.
Feels
we're
good
legal.
On the legal side.
We're legal now.
Legal beagle. Yes. And we're starting to be part of the revolution, just like Colorado and Washington.
I think
Oregon.
People gotta know, speaking of the other side of things, the other side of this legalization that's going on. I mean, it's cool. You can just have an ID and buy weed and smoke it.
Now, you can't just go into any place and get it. All the counties started fighting, just so you understand how that works. Some of the counties said yes, some of them... Many of them actually said no.
Yeah.
There are 10 areas in California that is recreational.
Right. So everywhere, make sure you
go into the right shop. Don't go into a shop thinking you could go into any shop and do it, because then, you know, you might get in trouble. So just
remain
don't put
compliant.
Yourself... Try to be compliant, even though you probably can just walk into any motherfucking shop here, because there's like thousands of them that they're going to be, closing when they go regulate. But everybody's allowed to do their thing until June, July.
And recreational doesn't mean you can smoke at Disneyland.
Yeah, you can't smoke outside. You can't go to all these different places and light up in the streets in the park.
None of that.
Because that was the same problem they had in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
They started complaining. Everybody's lighting up the streets, lighting up all over the place. But the truth is, where the fuck are they going to go? You know what I'm saying?
Where are
they
going to go?
You know, where are they going to go? So that's why I hope we get... We decided to go for it and try to apply for one of the permits that they have in West Hollywood for a consumption lounge. And if that goes down, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful Purple Haze lounges for all you guys to come in, chill in, and then hear some great music.
That's what's up.
Have some good food and all kinds of cool stuff.
We'll bring DJ Hayes now.
We got DJ Hayes. What we got to do is we got to get DJ Hayes to actually... be a featured DJ here on the radio station we do. And Purple Haze Radio is a cool thing about the station is that we got all these great cannabis shows, but we have 27 zones of music. 27 different types of music, because there are stoners like all kinds of music.
Everything.
So we got rap, we got R&B, we got jazz.
Reggae.
We even got soothing sounds. We got ocean fucking waves for you at some point in time. But just to educate, because stoners are all ages, all generations, and genres. All over the motherfucking world.
Everywhere.
We're playing live old concerts in its entirety. Of the Grateful Dead, Grateful Dead,
yes.
Chili Peppers,
yes.
Pearl Jam, 311,
yes.
The Doors.
What?
How tight is that? A live Doors concert. How fucking cool is that?
That's killer.
We're going to play some crazy old school shit
Marley,
that we tried to do.
Some Bob Marley.
Some Marley, some whatever, Dave Matthews,
Gregory
Fish.
Isaac.
Anyone that we could get and be blessed by the artists that will allow us to play, or ones that we've purchased to play, so you guys can enjoy, you know. So it's a great thing to be able to express and have all you guys that come in your cars and listen to us on your way to work. And we're on at 4:20 a.m. and we got up. Thank you guys so much for coming so early in the morning to come hang
out
with us too. And we replay at 7:10 a.m. on the West Coast, and then we play it again at 4:20 p.m. Got to hit 4:20, and then when we do the 7:10 replay, we got to do it in honor of the oil hour, and then at 7:10 p.m., Monday through Friday, catch a lot of those live concerts we're talking about being aired that you can just kick back,
7:10,
smoke a bowl.
7:10.
Do a dab, hit some oil, smoke a bud. Let us know what you got going on this morning, and hope you always, even if you got a crazy day, even if you have stress in your life, just always know that there's this fabulous, fabulous green medicine to help you get through your day.
Yes, that's what's up. Wake and bake, baby.
Expand your mind.
Expand your mind to the bacon. That is for sure.
And if you just
ending
your
what's
night,
up going on. Tell them about the Hollywood Hemp stuff you got going on.
Well, we do the Turp Market every Thursday in right here in Hollywood. On Las Palmas, we actually moved the venue over to Las Palmas. So find me on Instagram, The Alcoholics J. Rowe, or Turp Market Hollywood for more information. You can get a booth over there.
And for those that have no idea what terpenes are.
Oh yeah,
explain it, because you got to realize so many people are listening to us.
Terpenes,
like,
okay.
What the fuck are they
well, first of
about?
All, this Holy is market shit. Is like the best way I can describe it is like a flea market or a swap meet, you know. And there's booths, there's vendors out there selling cannabis products, food, clothing. Whatever, and I run the stage called the Cali Hop Stage, where we have performances. We have awesome DJs, DJ Hayes, Chris the Glove, DJ Beans, and I'm the host. And but there's a contest every Thursday for the Turp Market, and terpenes are the thing. It's the thing that gives the weed its smell, its aroma, any kind of. Produce.
So the natural
plant is
flavor
gives
of
it the aroma and the flavor, whatever flavors you have. You have different kind of onions because they have different terpenes. In
what kind of? What kind of? If you had to pick your top favorite flavor, what would be your choice as a terpene? Yeah, just pick. Like I like strawberry banana. Just throwing it out there. That's like.
Uh-huh.
So if you had to pick something, what would you pick?
I like mango.
Mango.
Yeah, mango seems like a really tough flavor.
Smart. What about you, bro?
Get.
Mangoes.
See,
banana.
You jumped on the same thing. Banana.
No, I mean, or
I like banana.
It's the best thing to
Jamaica.
Smoke weed with. Jamaica. The hibiscus.
Jamaica.
Yeah, hibiscus is good.
Hibiscus is great.
It's very aromatic.
Always very aromatic and very delicious, too.
Yeah.
It's a red tea.
Yeah.
Not green, not black.
Yeah, I throw it in my water sometimes. I make these fruit waters.
They
call it roll water. We got to come up with a CBD roll water now. I cut up fruits and the terpenes in there and
the
I drink it every day. Roll
Live
water.
To you. And then what's pretty cool is tell everybody about this is what I think is fucking cool. We so since the band is the Alcoholics, and you know, pot is such a big thing of the hip hop community. It had a lot to do with when they traveled around and this and their songs and everything they did. So you're like, oh well, how does it correlate cannabis brand and stuff? So J-Ro thought, I'm gonna take these cool ass fucking wine bottles and like cool jugs, and then we're gonna put special ounces of weed in the jug, and then he's gonna sign and number the jug.
Indeed. The first time
alcoholic nug jar.
You know, so I actually started just personally putting my weed in a bottle and walk around like that. And people were oblivious to the fact that I'm walking around with weed. They thinking like, oh, there's J-Ro drinking again.
Oh, shit. You know that's how you carried your weed around?
So, I was carrying my weed around the wine bottle. Now I got the growlers.
Shit, that's funny.
Beer bottles, all
that's
that.
That's fucking hilarious.
And so why not make it a thing? You know?
That's great. That's fucking some cool
shit. So we put the finely cut buds in the wine bottles, and we have bigger buds in the beer bottles. So wine is fine, beer
wine is
buds.
Fine.
Yeah.
So you take up some of the finest nuggets, right?
Yes.
And then you cut them up into little pieces by hand.
Right. Yeah. We don't use shake in the wine bottles. They're actually very fine cut, surgical scissor cut.
Top of the line.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Because, you know, people on the go, we don't have all that time to be breaking up these big old nugs that we got out here in Cali, right?
Sometimes you need your nugs broke up by J-Ro.
We'll put the shake in the Pilsner bottles, though.
Pilsner.
Pours right out. Fine
and that
grade
put,
of.
You want to take out your joint all the time, you're cutting up your weed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fucking breaking apart, you're taking all the time. Fuck that.
We got time.
Do it ahead of time. Yeah. Shake it up, fill up your favorite pills in your bottle, and then just pour that right into your rolling papers.
And guess what? We deliver bottles to the dispensaries. Chilled.
That's great.
Chilled. Just like Anheuser-Busch.
Chilled.
We delivered a different kind of bush.
Oh, shit. The smoking bush.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Purple haze bush.
You gotta love that, man. You gotta love that for sure.
Yeah.
Are you guys ever fuck around with working on some new songs and stuff? Or
we got some new stuff coming out. We have a collaboration with our bros from the East Coast, the Beat Nuts.
Oh, I remember those guys.
Yep.
Old school.
We have a group called Lick Nuts.
Lick Nuts.
Yeah, so Grumpy Lick Crocodile. Nuts. Can you find that on there? Grumpy Crocodile?
If it's something that's on the spotty, it'll pop up.
We released this a few years ago and people been eating us up.
What's the name? How do you say it? What's up?
LIKNUTS. And,
LIK and then nuts, that's it?
It's one word.
Oh, there it is.
Well, maybe. Something came up.
Here we go. Alcoholics and Beatniks.
Yeah, so the Beatniks.
Peacemaker, Return of the
Well, that's a song we did with Tony Touch. You can run with that one.
So that's what pops up. So we got all these here. You see this?
Oh, no.
Touch and Destroy.
Yeah, one of those songs, World Premiere. There you go.
World Premiere.
So we're both 90s groups, and a lot of people say we're the West Coast Beatniks and they're the East Coast Alcoholics. Shout out to Psycho Less and Juju. Yeah, Tony Toka. We recorded this in Switzerland, actually. We're on tour.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, how cool is that to record out of the country?
It's awesome, man, because the enthusiasm from the people out there. We're just like going hot two bars on this one.
Yo.
Bitches in the morning like Quaker Oats.
Yeah, sorry girls, no kissing for me. I'm on head
old school. Woo. So,
yeah, we sat down and wrote this one together, man. Just went in there and did our parts.
How many guys sang on this?
This is
like total rapping in this?
Five
guys?
Yeah, it's five of us in the group. And it's totally self-contained, no outside producers, no features, just the five of us.
That's great.
So, yeah, big up to Tony Touch. But, yeah, so we got that project coming out finally, and we're actually working on some new Alcoholics music. I have a solo album called Pacoima Elementary coming out, and we're going to collab on that one. The packaging thing we're talking about, I'm not going to say too much about that, but we're about to change the game. We learned how to beat the system, man, and we don't even need computers anymore.
That's great.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. Pacoima Elementary, J. Rose, new album. But Liquid Crew, man, it's Liquid all day.
Yay.
Big up the montage.
So if you had any advice to people out there that are aspiring to get into hip-hop and, you know, thinking like, you know, is it about just being able to rap well? Is it, you know, like a lot of guts to get up on a stage? I mean, like, mm-hmm. You have advice to somebody who says to themselves, you know, I'd love to do this one day. Like, you know, what would you say to somebody?
Well, I would just say that if you already have the aspirations to be in this business, you obviously have a talent. So that's something that is, you know, that you have already. So you need to start, you need to really think about what comes after. Just like when you go to college, you get a job, like what are you going to do after? What are you going to fall back on? So you really just already have to think like a boss, because one day you're going to be a boss. You're going to be looked at as an OG in the game.
Okay. But boss doesn't necessarily mean you have to have the foot down like a boss, right?
No, not at all.
So you just define that, because that's where people get confused.
You just need to think like how, okay, say if you were running the company now, what would you think? You know, how would you move? You have to really...
But as far as being a boss in the hip-hop game...
I mean, you got to earn that. You got to earn...
And how do you earn that? Where do you go? What do you do? Like, someone wants to get into it. How do they fucking do it? How do they do it? Where do they go? They got to just jump into the streets? Are there hip-hop nights? Is there, like, how, you know?
I mean, now there's a formula. You make some music. You get in the studio. Either get some equipment yourself or find somebody that is making music already.
Get into the studio and learn. Someplace that does it.
Learn from these people and learn the game. There's enough YouTube and Google information out there nowadays that you could, you know, every question is answered these days. Yeah. You don't have to go through what we went through.
Yeah.
Just figuring it out, you know.
A lot to figure out.
You can. It's not expensive as it used to be. You can, you know, do music a lot cheaper than back then. So,
sure.
Yeah. So just really learn from somebody who's been doing it, and just prepare for the best. That's all I would say.
Hell yeah!
Prepare. Physically and mentally.
Mentally. And every which way you can. Thank you, guys.
Prepare for the best. I'll put yourself in a winning position.
So if people wanted to shout out, you got an Instagram or anything you guys want to let everybody know about?
Smirk818 Antics.
Nice.
Instagram.
J-Ro, you got Instagram or anything you want to
know about? Alcoholics J-Ro.
Alcoholics J-Ro.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for getting up so early in the morning. Thank you for coming and kicking with us, man. I appreciate it. And I know J-Ro.
Thank you for having us.
J-Ro's going to bless us and have his own show that he's going to be doing here at the radio station, and he's going to bring in a bunch of different people and have a little bit of a spin to his show.
Yep.
You used to do him back in the day. Tell everybody a little bit about what you did.
Yeah, I did a sports show on 92.3 The Beat here in L.A. back in the 90s. Had a lot of guys there. Even Jay-Z, before he released his first album, came up there and read some of the scores with me and stuff. So
nice.
We're going to get that going back going.
Hell yeah. And thank you. Thank you for us being so blessed, being in wonderful, sunny California. This is Purple Haze Radio on the Wake and Bake Show. Thank you guys for getting up. And like I said, if you're always going to work, at home, running around, having a rough day, just things are bothering you, don't get too stressed out. Just remember you can smoke some weed. So thank you, and we'll talk to you on the next Wake and Bake Show.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.